people are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
All of the national soul searching in elections around the world is about the same thing, even though the results might be different in each country. The nations at the doorway to the 21st century of globalization, faced with changing demographics, all seek an answer to the question, what is France? What is the UK? What is America? What are we? Sociologist Arlie Hochschild decided to carefully listen to this quest for national identity in America among U.S. conservatives. She spent 5 years in Louisiana, the heart of Trump country, putting herself into the shoes of people who she says she had profound differences with. The result, her book, Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right, A Journey to the Heart of Our Political Divide.
Louisiana turned out to be an exaggerated version of the red state paradox. It was the second poorest state in the Union, including a lot more pollution, and it was overwhelmingly right-wing Tea Party and reviled, actually, the federal government, and enthusiastically went for Trump. So I thought, gosh, if you have some problems, don't you want some help? I went to this project with that question in mind.
Why did the people you met in southern Louisiana not view the federal government as someone who was a trustworthy watchdog on some of these issues?
Let me just give you an example of a guy I came to meet. He was the fifth of seven kids of a Cajun Catholic plumber. Grew up in the Old South and spent his adulthood working for oil. And so I went fishing with him. This is the best way to really get to know people, is go out in a fishing boat. They can't go anywhere. And you can sort of ask these questions. Hey, Mike, look, I know you really are suspicious of and dislike the government. And could you explain that to me? I'm trying to really get it. And here's what it came down to. Partly, he felt that the federal government was the North, you know, wagging its moral fingers at the South, which is blamed for the evil of slavery, a stain on American identity, and they were seen as backward. But the second layer of suspicion came because they saw government as an instrument of do-nothing bureaucrats. And Louisiana government they took as a model for federal government. And in Louisiana, oil interests really have, in essence, bought the state government. So the government was an instrument of the North. It was an instrument of oil. And then it was an instrument of what I came to understand was the line cutters in the deep story. Left or right, whatever our politics underlying it is a deep story. You take facts out of the deep story, and you take moral opinions out of the deep story. It's kind of fictive. And in the right-wing deep story, Mike's deep story, what you're doing is waiting in line, as in a pilgrimage, for the American dream. And at the top of the hill, there it is, that dream. Your feet are facing toward it. You're halfway there. You're looking forward, and you're feeling a great sense of entitlement. You have worked hard. You're in your 60s now, and the line is not moving. And in the second moment of the right-wing deep story, someone seems to be cutting ahead of you in line. Well, who would that be? That would be blacks, and even more numerous, there are women who, through federal affirmative action programs, now finally have access to jobs that had been reserved for whites and for men. And then there are undocumented immigrants, and there are refugees and others cutting ahead. And in another moment, there's Barack Obama, and he should be impartially supervising the line, which represents the American people, but he seems to be waving to the line cutters, and they seem to be waving back. In fact, isn't he a line cutter? And at the end of my research for Strangers, Donald Trump came to town. He came out of the sky, you know, in the Trump plane, and there were red, white, and blue strobe lights, music kind of booming, a sense of great elation and celebration. And I thought, you know, I've been studying the dry kindling, and now I think I see the match.
Huh. is what Trump is all about, the infuriating aspects of Trump that drove the media wild, his language that drove people crazy. Does that amount to a kind of line cutting that Mike would look at Trump and go, I don't care what he says. He's just making them mad. And that's great.
You know, the deep story has race in it. It has social class in it. It has gender in it. It's kind of how it feels. And they felt liberated by Trump, that he seemed to release them from the constrictures of PC, of liberal notions of who they should feel sympathy for and didn't feel sympathy for.
But the mystery to me is why one versus the other. We talked with someone during the campaign, Narcisse Nouveauté, who's from down in the bayou, down in Louisiana, and African-American. Mm-hmm. And said among the most surprising things of any of the people we talked to.
I haven't voted in a long time because the 8 years Barack Obama was in office, it didn't really affect my living status. I affected my living status more than he did. So I didn't see a valuable candidate this year, so I didn't vote.
He even went on to say that Trump is kind of a Barack Obama to people who are really mad. And for him, it's like, I'm done with the federal government.
Well, you know, there are two ways of being done with it. One is not to vote and to totally opt out of the system. But the second way of being done with the federal government is to get up a movement like the Tea Party movement and take over local governments and run for office and really express yourself. It's almost the opposite. It's a political activism. It's starting a movement. It's being done with the government that's been in power and starting a movement to get another kind of government in place. They're very different responses, that of Mike, who is a Tea Party activist, and that of your guest, who's not voting at all.
Are the groups in these red and blue states, whatever their labels are, are they going to find a way, using the mechanisms of democracy, to actually figure out how to govern and address concretely some of these issues that actually do bear on their future?
I don't think it's going to happen automatically, but that it's something we could make happen. And I think people in the blue states have really an opportunity and an important obligation to kind of reach out and build 1,000 bridges across this blue-red divide.
Arlie Hochschild, wanting to stir the very divisive melting pot in America, author of Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.